Ephesians chapter number 3. We'd like to share something from God's Word this morning. I'm thankful today that we still serve an amazing God. Amen. We serve a God that's past finding out. Job said back in chapter 11, as you're turning, he says, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It's as high as the heavens. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? Praise God, the measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea." I'm thankful this morning that we serve a God that's so amazing that we can't limit him and we can't define him by any means that man knows to put the limitations and a definition upon. Amen? He's greater than all that. And in Ephesians chapter number 3, we're going to begin reading in verse number 7 this morning. Just read two verses, and then we'd invite you to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word, if you're able this morning. In verse number 7, it says, "Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? Paul is, in this epistle, this letter he's written to the Ephesian church, is telling about where God has brought us from and where He's taken us to. And he's talking about how God had used him to go and to preach unto the Gentiles. And in the verses we just read, Paul was relating how God was made a minister. According to the grace of God, Paul was once a persecutor. Paul was once an individual who was injurious and who would hurt the church and would do things against the church. But one day on the road to Damascus, he was gloriously saved by the grace of God. Amen. Aren't you thankful this morning for God's glorious and marvelous grace? And he says, because of that, he was given an opportunity. He was given a job to minister. He said, "Unto me who am less, the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God." You see, there were many in this world who were living according to worldly standards. They were living according to the knowledge of false gods and the knowledge of false hope and the knowledge of false everything that they faced. You know, nothing that they dealt with could really be trusted because everything was built up around falsehoods. Even the kingdoms that they served gave a credence and they gave glory to gods who were unable to do nothing. Just as we read about the Hebrew children and the children of Israel as they came into the promised land and as they dealt with the kingdoms around them and dealt with the problems that faced them, many times they were dealing with people who were serving false gods and who would proclaim their gods before them. We remember the Philistines and their god Dagon, how when they had stole the Ark of the Covenant and had taken it back into their cities and placed it in the temple of their false god, Dagon, how Dagon was found fallen over face first before the Ark. You know, the Bible says that every tongue will confess him, that every knee will bow before him. And let me tell you what, Dagon, even though he was a man-made statue, couldn't help but be found prostrate before the living God. Amen. I recall when the Assyrians came to attack Israel. And they sent Rabshakeh, their general, to confront them. And as Hezekiah and the men of Israel upon the wall heard their proclamation, he said, "What makes you think that your God can deliver you when the gods of all the countries and all the nations that we have conquered have been unable to conquer them?" And the living God spoke unto Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah and told him, "Don't worry about those men. I've got that under control." And they were called back into their own country where they were killed and were left dead by their own right because the living God had interceded. There are many who are still living in this world today that are living with false hopes. Amen. You're serving false gods. You're thinking that things of this world are going to satisfy and things of this world are going to make everything better. There's nothing in this world that can replace what God can do in your life and what He wants to do in your heart. Amen. I'm thankful that there are places for people to go that have problems. But praise God, I'm thankful for what rebirth can do. Amen. Rebirth can make things right. Rebirth can solve more problems than any kind of program has ever thought about solving. Amen. I'm thankful that when people face depression and people face sicknesses that they can't control, that there's a God that can go, you can go to, that is able to do what no one else can do. He's able to do it in a way that no one else can do it. When Brother Randy has been everywhere and done everything, he found out that rebirth could do what a modern medicine could never do. I like that song that Brother Mike Upright sings, and by his way, he does send his thanks and his gratitude to the church for your help. But he sings that song about the man that laid by the pool and could find no help. And Jesus come by and Jesus touched him and Jesus healed him. And the song says it wasn't modern day medicine that healed him. Amen. And praise God, I want you to know something today. My God can still do what modern day medicine can't do. Amen. We look at folks that are looking to lose everything. They've made maybe bad decisions. Maybe circumstances have changed in their life. And they've lost their jobs. They've lost their income. Companies have just shut down and moved out overnight. And they feel like there is no hope. Let me tell you something, friend. The one that still made this earth is still the one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. He owns it all. He has it all. And He can give it all to you as you need. He said He would supply your need. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning just a little bit on this God that Paul was privileged to tell the folks who had never heard about the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable rich. Paul said, "I was privileged by the grace of God to be able to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." If you've never heard, if you've never known, if it's never been shared with you this morning, I want you to know something. We have a God that's able to do anything and wants to do everything He can to help you where you're at. Unsearchable riches means that He has just exactly what you need. Amen. He has just exactly what you need. Amen. What you need might be different than what the person sitting next to you needs, but I want you to know something this morning. He's got what you need, whatever it is. Whatever you've come needing this morning, whatever it's come you've done, you're desiring this morning, whatever it is that you've come seeking this morning, let me assure you, He has it for you. Amen. Amen. He has exactly what you need. And you know what? He not only has what you need and what all the folks here in this church needs, but He has what the folks over in Africa need. Amen. We have missionaries and folks who are working in the continent of Africa. And God knows just exactly what those folks need right there and when they need it. And praise God, He's ready and willing to meet their need. He knows just what the Muslim needs this morning. The Muslim man and the Muslim woman, maybe the Christian individual especially, who lives amongst the Muslims and needs protection and need God's hand. He knows exactly what they need. Amen. He knows exactly what they need. All around the world, people have a need this morning, and God knows just exactly what they need, and God is able to meet the need. Amen. We question many times, well, you know, I've been here and I've been there. And we was talking some this morning about the difference between a need and a want. There's a big difference between needs and wants. Amen. But praise God, I'm glad not only can He meet our needs, but so many times He just supplies to our want. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You know, God knows what you need, and God will make sure you have sufficient to do what He wants you to do. He said He'll make sure you have all sufficiency. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 to 11, He says this. And then down in verse number 11, He says, being enriched in every thing to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Paul said, look, he said, God has called me to minister to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God. I've been here, I've been there, I preached to this group, and I preached to that group, I preached in this city, and I preached in that city, and I've told them about the unsearchable riches of God. And he said, let me go on to tell you something else. He said, when I preached about the unsearchable riches of God, God has always been sufficient for all that we've needed. He's always made it evident, His sufficiency. Amen. He's always made it evident that He can do just exactly what He said He's going to do. Amen. Where are you at today? Amen. Are you bogged down in the muck and the mire of sin? Are you going through a storm of life where the winds and the waves are just assailing and battering you and beating you down? Are you going through the valley of death? Maybe you've went through the valley of death with a loved one. Maybe the doctor has told you something that says there's no more hope. We've done all that we can do. What is it you need this morning? He's sufficient for your need. Amen. He's sufficient for your need. If you're bogged down in the muck and the mire of sin, let me tell you what, salvation is available in Romans 10 and 13. You can find that salvation is available to all who will call upon His name, believing in their heart that He's able to save. In Titus 2:14, He tells us that we can find justification. Not only does He save us, amen, but He makes us right in the eyes of the law of God. Amen. He justifies us. Not only are we made right in the eyes of the law of God, we're prepared spiritually in Philippians 4 and 12. It tells us we can find sanctification in Jesus. Amen. He not only makes us right in the eyes of the law, but He also makes us right spiritually. Holy, acceptable unto God. Not only do we find salvation, justification, sanctification, but praise God, we can find consolation in Jesus Christ. If you want a scripture reference, 2 Corinthians 12 and 19, His grace, or 12 and 9, I mean, His grace is sufficient for all things. Amen. I don't care what you're going through. His grace is sufficient. I don't care what you're dealing with. His grace is sufficient. But praise God, in 1 Peter 1:5, not only do we find salvation, justification, sanctification, and consolation, but praise God, we're going to find out one day that we can find some glorification. Amen. We're going to give up these old corruptible bodies in which we live. Amen. We're going to have a new body. Amen. Incorruptible. Uncorruptible. Something that can't deteriorate. Something that can't be affected by sin. Amen. Because it's been changed. It's been transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, by Jesus Christ himself. Let me tell you something this morning. No matter what you need, he has it. If you need to get saved this morning, if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart this morning, the Bible says that you're lost and on your way to hell. And praise God, he'll save you this morning to the uttermost. He'll save you completely. He'll save you wholly, and he'll give you a home in heaven. Amen. Amen. He's the comforter that comforts us in all our tribulation. If you need comforted this morning, the unsearchable riches of God can reach out and meet your need, whatever it might be. In the storm, he speaks those words, peace, be still. And the winds cease and the waves stop. Amen. But you know what? I also know that sometimes the winds rage, the waves batter, but praise God, there's still perfect peace. His unsearchable riches means that no matter what you need, he has. What's your need this morning? What's your need? He has it for you. Not only are unsearchable riches meaning what he has, what you need, it means you can receive it though you may not understand it. Y'all didn't hear me. Y'all didn't get that. Not only does he have all that you need and what you need, you can receive it even though you don't completely understand it. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, I've seen him do a lot of things, and I still haven't figured out how he's done it. I've seen him do a lot of things, and I still haven't figured out why he done it. Amen. But I'm glad you can receive it even though you don't fully understand it. Amen? And I tell you, over in further down in our scripture, we're going to find out some things that he tells us here. I look in verses 18 to 21 that the Bible says, well, let's go back to 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him who be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I want you to know something this morning. He says we might be able to comprehend it. That doesn't mean that we understand it. That comes from a Greek word, katalambano. It means to apprehend, to attain, to find, or to perceive. Amen. I can look around me and I can see some of the things that God has done. I don't fully understand it, but praise God, I can perceive that it was God that done it. Amen. When Brother Jack found out that after all these medical tests that he didn't have to have the surgery that they were preparing for that morning, after they said that he had to have it, had to have it, had to have it, I can't understand it, but praise God, I can perceive that it happened. Amen. I know that it happened because I heard the testimony week after week, test after test, that he had to have the surgery. And on the day of surgery, the blockages were gone. Praise God. How do you understand that? But you can't. But what you can do, you can praise God for it. Amen. I can't understand it, but I can praise God for it. I can't understand it, but I can perceive that it happened. Amen. I can realize that it happened. Amen. He says you need to grasp the enormity of God if you can. And we'll never fully understand it. Job said, man, you can't understand how big God is. You can't understand the ability that God has. You can't wrap your arms and your mind around. Can you understand how God could save a dirty, old, filthy, stinking, rotten sinner that deserved to be in hell with his back broke and deliver him? Can you understand how God would love a world so much that he would send his son to die for a man like Adolf Hitler? Can you grasp that? Can you wrap your mind around that? I can't. Can you wrap your mind around people that want to kill other people and they hate other people and they do everything they can to destroy other people just because they're not like them? Whether they have a different religion, whether they have a different skin color, whether they have a different language, well, whatever it is, because they're different, we're going to kill them. Because they're different, we're going to destroy them. Can you understand how people can be that? And God sent his son to die for those people. God sent his son to die for people who would hear about his marvelous grace, who would hear about his great love, who would hear about how much God really cared. And let me tell you something, there's no one in this world, not a mother, not a father, not a sister, not a brother, not a friend, no matter how close they might be, that will ever care for you like Jesus cared for you. And praise God, people will hear how much Jesus cared for them and still reject him and still deny it anyway. But he loves them anyhow. Amen. But he loves them anyhow. I can't comprehend that, but I can perceive it because I see it happen all around me. I see him take a soul from the lowest depths of hell. Psalmist said, he brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock. Amen. As low as you could get. And God lifted them up. And God brought them out. I've seen it happen time and time again. I've seen the soul that has backslidden and went astray from God and got under God sent Holy Ghost conviction and came back to an old-fashioned altar and repented of their sin, and they found forgiveness, they found cleansing, they found hope that only Jesus could bring. Amen. We might not understand it all, but praise God, we can perceive it. We might not understand it, but we can receive it. Amen? And God knows that it's greater than our comprehension. He knows that it's more than what we can grasp. Verse 18. He said, well, we might be able to comprehend. We might grasp and realize the immensity of the ability of God. Nothing's impossible. Verse 19. Says it's passes all knowledge. We can't explain it. We can't understand it. In verse number 20, all I can just say is he blows my mind. Amen. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. That just blows my mind when I think about it. I just can't grasp everything that he can do and everything that he wants to do. But praise God, he does it anyway. Amen. Verse 21. Just because of who he is. Amen. Man, y'all didn't hear me. He does all that just because of who he is. Amen. Praise God. Not only are the words unsearchable and the blessings that are unsearchable riches of God more than what you need and has what you need. And you can't explain it, but you can still receive them. Praise God. The last point we have this morning is the unsearchable riches means they're inexhaustible. Did you hear me this morning? It means they're inexhaustible. Amen. As long as we live in the age of grace, salvation is still available. Amen. The Bible says, to as many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. I'm thankful this morning that salvation, amen, is inexhaustible as long as we live in the dispensation of grace. Amen. Think about it like this. You have a man out in the desert, and he's dying of thirst. He's been lost in the desert, and he's down to his last bit of ability, his last bit of effort to even stay alive because he's dying of thirst. And you come to him and you can offer him gold and silver. You can offer him diamonds and pearls and gems and things of great worth and great value. What's his greatest gift? It's going to be water. You find a man who is hungry. You find a man who is starving. You find a man who's so emaciated that he's right at death's door, and at any moment he could slip away from the land of the living to the land of eternity. And he finds himself in this situation, and you can offer him everything that the world has. What is the one thing that's more important to him than anything? Food. 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 You take somebody that has suffered and suffered and suffered, Brother Randy, and you can offer them everything that the world has. You can offer them money. Your mom and dad could sell everything they had, Randy, and built you a special home to live in just for you. And you'd have still suffered. You'd still been in pain. People could leave everything they have and give everything they have to you. Tanya, your mom and dad could have given you their whole estate. Could have given you your inheritance early. Just like the prodigal son. But that wouldn't have healed your cancer. That wouldn't have changed that one bit. What Randy and what Tanya and what folks who are sick need more than anything is a physician. Is a physician who's able to meet their needs. Let the man be carried from the prison cell and be led down the hallway and down the corridor, some places to the gallows, some places to the electric chair, some places to the gas chamber, some places to the gurney where they'll strap him down and shoot chemicals through his body that will kill him. He doesn't need money. He doesn't need gold and precious things. He needs deliverance. He needs a pardon. He needs help. Jesus told the woman of Samaria in the city of Sychar that he had more than what she would ever need. The unsearchable riches of God means they're inexhaustible. You can never wear them out. He told the woman there in Samaria, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Praise God, I'm glad he has what I need. And I'm glad he has enough of what I need. I may not understand it, but praise God, I can receive it. She said, let me tell you something. I want this water that you have. How about you this morning? Are you thirsting after truth? Are you thirsting after some relevancy for life and for what you're going through? Let me tell you who can satisfy the thirst. Jesus. Jesus. Amen. In John 6:35, Jesus told those that were following him, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let me tell you what. You can search after riches. You can search after gold. You can go after drugs. You can go after drink. You can go after men. You can chase after women, and you'll never be satisfied. I don't care how good a job you got and how much money you make. You'll never be totally satisfied until you know Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He that partakes of me is never going to hunger again. Amen. Never again. I've never met a child of God that truly got saved. Somebody, I'm not talking about somebody that says they're saved. I'm not somebody that goes to church. I'm not talking about somebody that's got their name written down on a church roll book. I'm talking about somebody that really got saved. Somebody that really got Jesus down in their heart. Somebody that made sure it was right. And once it got right, they knew it was right. And nothing could ever change that. Ain't that right, little sister? Amen. Many times I asked Jesus into my heart, but it was never from the heart. I asked Jesus into my heart. I asked Jesus to save me. My favorite one was when she was little, she said, me and Jesus had a little talk last night. Amen. That was my favorite one. But one day, I had a camp meeting down in Southern Virginia. Praise God. Jesus got a hold of her heart. And when he got a hold of her heart, she's never had to want. She's never had to thirst. She's never hungered again because Jesus had everything that she needed. Amen. Praise God. I've never met a child of God that longed after the things of this world. Once Jesus satisfied the longing that they had inside, the hunger that they had inside. Praise God. I tell you what, to the sick person, Jesus told the man about a pool. He said, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power, or not by the pool, but in the house. He said, that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He that saith to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into death. Let me tell you what, he healed then. He's healed since then. Praise God. He healed Brother Jack. Amen. He's going to heal Brother Randy. He's already healed Brother Randy of some of what he's had. He's healed Tanya. Amen. He's healed others here. He's going to heal you one way or the other. Praise God. It might not be the way that you're expecting, but he does exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his glory, according to his name, according to his knowledge. And praise God, I want you to know something, George. You might be going through a valley right now. You might be in a storm right now. You might not understand what's happening right now, but God's still in control. He's still on the throne, and he's still able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think. Just don't know how he's going to do it. A lot of times we just don't know when he's going to do it. But praise God, I'm sure that he is going to do it. Amen. Amen. Oh, to you this morning that don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're condemned. You're condemned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. You're under condemnation of death, not just physical death, but spiritual death. Not just death of the body, this tabernacle in which you dwell, but death of the soul and of the spirit that dwelleth forever. A death that is never completed. A death that never puts an end to it. Some people will teach that when you go to hell, you burn up and your sins burn up, and that's all there is to it. But the Bible teaches death differently than that. The Bible says in hell, the rich man lift his eyes. That wasn't in the past tense. It wasn't lifted his eyes. In hell, he lift his eyes. That was in the present tense. And every time you read that passage of scripture, is still in the present tense. That rich man is still in hell today, and he still lifts his eyes, and he still cries out in agony and torment. He said, I'm tormented in this place. Jesus had cast them into the place where they'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing the teeth, where the worm dieth not. Amen. You'll never die. You'll go through the throngs and the pangs of death, but death will never be able to claim you. and to stop your suffering and your hurting. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior this morning, you stand condemned to that place. You stand condemned with no hope within yourselves. It's not about being a good person. It's not about doing good deeds. It's about whether Jesus lives in your heart. But let me tell you what. There's help for the condemned. There's help for the individual that has no hope in this world. When they took Jesus up Mount Calvary, the Bible said they hung him between two malefactors, between two thieves. The one on the one side railed out and cried and made light of Jesus and made fun of him. The other one cried back to his partner in crime, "We're getting what we deserve." You see, sin deserves hell. Sin deserves that place in hell. He said, "We're getting what we deserve." He said, "But this man has done nothing. This man is innocent because this man was the spotless Lamb of God." John said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." He was God's remedy. He was God's answer for your condemnation so that you could have consolation and look forward to glorification. That thief, under the condemnation of his sin, under the condemnation of the life that he lived, in his last moments upon the old rugged cross, said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Friend, he still saves. Friend, he still wants to save. If you come here this morning thirsting after truth and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the truth is, and I'm glad you come thirsting for truth, Jesus says you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Yeah. Amen. And there's a big difference between being set free and made free. Right. Amen. Harriet Tubman used to set slaves free on the Underground Railroad. But she never made them free. She set them free. Amen. They could still be caught and still be dragged back into servitude, back into slavery. But when someone was made free, when President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, he made them free. They couldn't be drugged back into slavery. They were made free. They were legally free. You should know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, he wants to make you free. He wants to make you whole. He wants to turn your condemnation into consolation. He wants to save your soul this morning and let you be free. See, religion might set you free, but you've never been made free. You might come to church and you might separate yourself from things of the world, but it'll never make you free. It just separates you. It can set you free. But Jesus can make you free.